Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now let's stay in Wellington with Dr. Grant Morris, who's standing by. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. I think this is the first time you've returned to a topic. It's the history of free speech in New Zealand.
Yeah, I thought it was timely to return to this one, given some of the debates, or maybe not so much debates, that are happening at the moment at the university.
Well, what has been happening?
So, yeah, we've had this debate planned on the role of universities in supporting freedom of speech, and it was planned by the Vice-Chancellor for our university. And personally, I thought it was a really good idea. The idea was to kind of think about how we can have challenging conversations in society in a civilized and polite and respectful and thoughtful way. So the idea is great. The trouble is that the original idea was put out there, and there were a lot of complaints from some staff and some students as to the structure of it and some of the speakers and who wasn't there and et cetera. So it was postponed, and now it's back on again at the end of the month with a different structure and a different location, and many of the speakers are the same. There's some new ones. So it's still happening. It's still going to go ahead, but ironically, and my stance was the first to acknowledge this, the debate about free speech had to be postponed because of issues around having it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we continue on.
As we look at the history, is it useful to define this idea of free speech?
Yeah, I think it is. And to be clear, that what the plan is at Victoria is to talk about the role of universities in supporting freedom of speech. So how can we be a place where ideas can flourish and different points of view can be put forth and then critiqued in a thoughtful, rational way? That's the idea. So it's not academic freedom as such, even though academic freedom could be seen as a subset of freedom of speech, it's actually wider than that. So, you know, we can talk about freedom of speech in New Zealand with the Bill of Rights Act, and we can talk about some restrictions on it through, you know, whether it's defamation or restrictions of hate speech, if you like, under the Human Rights Act. So there's lots of things we can talk about, but where the idea of this debate was to say, how can the university be a site to encourage debate and free ideas and flow of ideas?
Is it a natural place for a debate about free speech, and is there a historical connection between universities and free speech?
Yeah, that's what I actually find as a historian the really interesting thing, is that it's a mixed answer. On the face of it, yes, and especially in more modern times, the university is the perfect place, I believe, to have these kind of debates and to invite lots of different views. We're used to, as academics and hopefully as students, debating and reasoning and rebutting and critiquing and all those things. So in a modern era, yes, but it's really important to realise where universities came from in the West. And we go all the way back to ancient Greece, and Socrates and Plato and Aristotle in the academy teaching their students to think for themselves, or more recently in the very first universities in what is now Italy and then Cambridge and Oxford and England. The universities that developed during the Middle Ages were very much connected with the church, and the academics that worked there were usually priests and church officials and had those connections. So there was always this tension as the modern universities developed between those people wanting to have their say, but also realizing that they were part and connected to the church. And of course, we're talking about the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages, and this was not a big supporter as an institution of freedom of speech, in fact. quite the opposite. Spanish Inquisition, all those sorts of things. So there's this irony that the university grows, in connection with the medieval Catholic Church, and yet becomes, in more modern times, this place where it's supposed to be the land of free speech. So I think, especially in its history, this isn't the first time that the university struggled in terms of, how much freedom of speech should occur and what is acceptable, ideas and ideologies. However you want to phrase it, I think the history of the university has been a little bit more mixed than perhaps some people might expect.
What about here in New Zealand? Any kind of key moments in the free speech story?
Yeah, so this is what we talked about last time when I said revisiting. We talked about the fact that both governments of the right and of the left in New Zealand have clamped down on freedom of speech at certain times. So whether it's during World Wars, World War One, World War Two, or whether it's a waterfront strike in 1951, where particularly draconian laws were brought in in peacetime, we have had times that freedom of speech has been under threat. But the pleasing thing, and I suppose the reassuring thing, is in our history is that generally New Zealand and New Zealanders and New Zealand government have supported the freedom of speech, and our institutions, whether it's the media, whether it's the universities, or, they've also come in behind that as well. So the story, I think, in New Zealand is generally a pretty positive one for freedom of speech.
So what does all that historical context add to the current debate?
I think it gives us an idea of, that university's had a bit of a checkered history in terms of, where it's been placed in relation to accepting all ideas definitely in more modern times, it definitely is a site to discuss and to have these sorts of debates. I think the more the better, as long as it's done in that respectful and academic way. I think it's also, maybe for people who aren't part of universities, they might see this as kind of a left-right debate or something like that. And I know your last speaker was talking about left and right as well, not being so clear-cut. And I would argue in the university it's not so clear-cut as well. And in many ways, some of these arguments are between what we might call classic liberals, which have often been seen as left-leaning, left-leaning people who aren't so much classic liberals. It's more complicated, I would say, than some people might suspect.
Yeah, there is a sort of an old left, new left thing going on, right? Mm. The idea of, there is a kind of a new idea on campus sometimes where anyone to the right of you is right-wing, coupled with calling someone right-wing as a way of kind of shutting down their argument, none of which would really sort of stand up among the classic liberal left. It's sort of the opposite of the classic liberal position.
Yeah, that classic liberal position. I mean, it's in the name, isn't it? Liberal being liberty or freedom. So the idea of freedom of speech and as much as possible within some boundaries is part of that liberal tradition. And a lot of people will critique that liberal tradition, which is where you get some of the tension from.
Yeah. Where have all the right-wing academics gone, Grant?
There's been some fascinating studies done in the States about that, and not so much in New Zealand, but I'm not sure where they've gone, but it does seem that they have gone. Not completely, and it will differ from faculty to faculty, but definitely, however, I mean, it's a contested issue as to how you define right-wing, but I think the trend is in Western universities that, it is overwhelmingly left-leaning, I'll put it that way.
Okay. That might be a topic for another time. Thanks for thanks for the insight, Grant. Really appreciate it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.